Good morning. Let's get straight to markets.
Take a look at the impact for the indices.
Factual. Succinct. All you need to know before your trading day starts. Subscribe to our newsletter, CNBC's Daily Open.
Beyond the Valley.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Valley, the podcast that explores the world of tech. I'm Tom Chitty and with me is CNBC's senior tech correspondent Arjun Karpal. TikTok, the Chinese social media video app, is once again at the center of the US-China conflict. This week, the US House of Representatives voted in favor of a bill to force parent company ByteDance to sell the app in order for it to remain available in the US. With a hugely successful but secretive algorithm and 170 million users in America, will China really sell one of its most important assets? And if not, does this amount to a ban?
Beyond the Valley.
Arjun, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Tom. Is it nice to be back? Question marks, isn't it? Always after a holiday.
Lots of questions.
Going to be quite candid here.
We're talking about holidays, which I know that, you know, some listeners like and some listeners don't, but we'll just, you know, we'll plow on. I think that holidays sometimes can be a total waste of time because when you come back, you're more depressed at being back at work than you were before you went on holiday. The purpose of a holiday, or the best part of the holiday, is the bit leading up. I've mentioned this many times. It's the leading up to the holiday. So if we could just bottle that feeling, that sort of excitement, that would be great.
But luckily,
the holiday, waste of money.
Well, yeah. And luckily, I get to come back and record Beyond the Valley. So that makes everything better for me.
Yeah, you thought you'd slip into sort of, you know, casual, sort of couple of coffees in the morning, maybe write a story here or there, you know, keep it relaxed, but it hasn't quite worked out like that.
This has been one of the busiest days I've had this year, and it is my first day back after about seven, eight days off. So you can imagine I'm pretty discombobulated, maybe.
You know, the tech industry waits for no one, Arjun. You know
that. That's right. I know that.
Before we get into our main story, let's find out what Arjun's stat of the week is.
170 million, Tom. Stat of the week, 170 million.
Okay, 170 million. I'm writing that down. I think I know what that is. Terrific. Okay, just to remind our listeners that if you have any questions on what we've discussed this week or past episodes, then email beyondthevalley@cnbc.com and we will answer them right here on the podcast. Later in the episode, we'll also be discussing Alibaba. If you listened to last week's episode, we did a deep dive on Alibaba and its attempts to make a comeback of sorts. Well, this week, the EU are opening a probe into AliExpress, Alibaba's international e-commerce platform. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But for now, TikTok, with US lawmakers firmly having the Chinese social media app in its crosshairs. Arjun, for our listeners, explain exactly what this bill that passed in the US House of Representatives actually means.
So remember, it's not law yet because it has just passed the House and needs to pass the Senate and then get the signing from the president. But so far, what we understand is effectively ByteDance, the owner of TikTok, would need to divest or sell TikTok in the US, or the app would not be allowed to be distributed on the app stores in the US, and it would not be able to be distributed anywhere in the US, really. And so that's the state of play, and that will need to happen, I think, roughly within 6 months of the law, if it does pass, coming into effect. And so that's really where things stand right now. It's a pretty dire situation, I'd say, at this point for TikTok and for ByteDance.
The stages that it needs to go through. So we've done, it's passed through the House of Representatives, and now then it will go to the Senate. And then will it have another stage beyond the Senate?
It needs sign off from US President Joe Biden, who I think's already said that he'd give it the okay if it got to that stage.
Even after actually having a TikTok account himself 12 months ago, opening one, which I found ironic, but anyway.
It very much is ironic. I love it when all the politicians sort of bash on these social media accounts, and they often do them on those very same social media accounts. That's quite fun. But certainly, yeah, that's where we're at the moment. So it's a pretty difficult situation. But I tell you why, ByteDance is such a fascinating company. I think we may have touched upon them before. This is a company that sort of it has been a disruptor in China, right? China was very much dominated by the established internet companies for a long time, Tencent, Alibaba, etc. ByteDance comes out of nowhere, commands a huge valuation, grows super quickly. And one of the things that China's not been as successful at is exporting internet platforms and social media companies, right? If you think about outside of China, the social media platforms that dominate are very largely American. When you think about Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and others, and finally, China had this export in TikTok, which is taken the world by storm and disrupted many of those American players as well to a large extent. It's taken advertising dollars away from some of them. It's challenged, some of those American companies for eyeballs of users. And now, in the US, it potentially could face somewhat of a ban.
I find it interesting how it seems to go in stages. It was, a few years ago where everyone was saying, well, TikTok is a national security threat. Don't download it on your phones, at least for government officials. And then sort of it goes all quiet again and everyone's using TikTok and it's not seen as a national security threat. And this goes for, the UK and the EU and as well as the US. But then it then sort of comes back in again as a national security threat. And you're thinking, but the algorithm, I assume, is being developed, but it hasn't, the whole thing hasn't like suddenly transformed into something completely different overnight. You've got to think that there's something else going on here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point you bring up. So what are the reasons we're hearing for why the US is concerned over TikTok? And you mentioned there the keyword national security threat. That's something that, and remember, this TikTok issue is not new. It began with the Trump administration prior to the Biden administration, who also was looking to force ByteDance to sell TikTok and their American business. And it was the same reason. The US government is concerned that the data of millions and millions of Americans who use the platform could get into the hands of the Chinese government. And they've criticized the alleged links between ByteDance and the Chinese Communist Party. But, to date, there hasn't been huge evidence that, the data of millions of Americans is being leaked to the Chinese Communist Party at this point. But that is the concern. And what's interesting is the parallels here we've seen with Huawei as well, when we've spoken about Huawei in the past. And Huawei effectively was banned, has been banned in many countries because of this same concern. And I think it was back in 2018, I was sort of reporting on this law in China. There's a couple of laws. And what they appear to say is that if, under national security reasons, Beijing, the Chinese government, asks a company for data on users or whatever it holds, that company is obliged to hand over the data to the Chinese government. And there is very little redress for that. You can't argue the case in a court. You can't say no. And that is the law. Those laws in China is what the US government has been concerned about in the case of Huawei, and now again in the case of TikTok. And of course, TikTok has said, we wouldn't hand over our data to the Chinese government. We haven't handed our data over to the Chinese government. We don't have affiliation with the Chinese government. But that's the big concern. And so when you ask, is there more happening here? The more here, I think, is the the thing we've been talking about for the last few years, and that is this continued battle for tech supremacy between China and the US. Now, you've got a company, as I said here, or a product, at least TikTok, which has effectively challenged the American dominance of the social media space. And is that something you may ask that the US government likes? And maybe not. And maybe that's one part of the equation here. It's the fact that what TikTok is doing by harvesting data from users around the world, and as do all social media companies, is they're using that data to be able to continue to build our algorithms, maybe AI, maybe more advanced models, these kind of things. And I think all these considerations are playing around right now in the heads of Washington. This is not just about American data and American user data. This is really about a broader fight between the US and China when it comes to tech.
TikTok sort of being threatened by the West, or by the US particularly, is not something new, as we've mentioned. What has TikTok done in the past to appease US lawmakers and those national security concerns that they have?
Well, it's very much trying to focus on that data issue that I was just mentioning there, and who has access to that data. So sort of over the past 3 years or so, TikTok's spent sort of around, I think, $1.5 billion or so working on something it dubs Project Texas, which is this sort of restructuring plan with the aim of safeguarding US user data. And they've done this in partnership with Oracle, which is a US firm. And the idea was to sort of try to wall off American data from being going anywhere else. It also says that, you know, it's data outside of for international users. You know, some of it's stored in Singapore as well. So it's trying to show that actually the data is safe, that it's not being sent to China, and that actually, you know, it can work with American companies without having to go the drastic step of sort of being divested from ByteDance. Clearly, that hasn't worked, because this sort of campaign to get it sold off has continued. But that's really what it's been trying to do to convince US lawmakers.
In terms of the bill, it doesn't specifically use the word ban. But when we talk about the implications of this bill being passed, does it essentially amount to a ban?
Yeah, it's, I know the sort of almost the sort of shorthand term of this thing is TikTok ban, but it's not that. It is very much
that is the headlines for most of the news articles that our listeners will be reading in the coming days, is the word ban being used.
TikTok needs to divest its US business, or effectively, you know, app stores won't be able to distribute or host you know, TikTok. Internet providers, cloud providers wouldn't be able to host TikTok as well. Now, what would that effectively mean in practice? Let's say it went ahead and, you know, TikTok didn't sell up, and, you know, effectively this, you know, app stores and the internet providers wouldn't be able to host TikTok. You know, it wouldn't necessarily disappear from your and I's phone, but you know, those app updates we get via, you know, the App Store or Google Play or whatever app store you use, those wouldn't come through because TikTok wouldn't be allowed to do that. And so you wouldn't get app updates. And then let's just say you change phone, for example, you wouldn't be able to re-download the app. And so effectively, over time, as you don't get those updates, as you don't get the new features of TikTok, that app will fall behind the others. You won't use it anymore. You'll just delete it. And it may become unusable to some extent. So when you think about it in that sense, it, you know, is it? It's not technically banned, but to some extent, you know, the effects of not being able to sell off and not complying with whatever the US law is, if it passes, it will amount to a product that becomes unusable over time.
Yeah, and just to be clear, it won't be sort of enforced against the user of TikTok. So if you persevered and wanted to keep using TikTok, that's fine. It's just, it, you know, as time progresses, you won't be getting the full experience. And I suppose the next question is, What can ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, do to counter this?
I think so far it's tried to campaign against the ban and sort of say that there's a lot of influencers or sort of TikTok celebs whose, you know, income's at risk. They've tried to say it's bad for the millions of users they have in the US. So they're trying to make the case almost to some extent to the lawmakers.
But also just quickly, Arjun, you know, with the 170 million users that they have in the US, isn't that a huge group of people that can campaign for them on their behalf?
Yeah, that's exactly. And I think that's exactly the sort of the tack they're taking. I mean, the CEO of TikTok, Shouza Chu, he was basically appealing directly to the users and telling them, you know, keep sharing your stories, he said, share them with your friends, share them with your family, share them with your senators. So he's trying to sort of almost rally the users to campaign on TikTok's behalf against the lawmakers. You know, there's a lot of users of TikTok who are huge fans of the platform. They love it. They love what it can do. They love, you know, perhaps some of them, the big ones, the money they're making off the platform as well. And so that's how they're trying to battle this. I feel like to some extent TikTok feels it's lost the case with the American lawmakers and the American legal system. You know, if the president's saying that he'll sign this act if it passes, or the bill if it passes, then you know, you're in a pretty tight spot. And the only way what you can do is just appeal to your user base and hope that they might be able to change the mind of the lawmakers. And that's the tactic TikTok's taken.
If ByteDance then is hampered by what it can actually do to counter this, then I imagine China have a little bit more tools in their basket, if you will. What do you envisage would be their thinking at this moment in time as to what their response would be?
So China's immediate response so far, and this is via the Chinese foreign ministry, they said, a spokesperson said, that the US bill is, quote, at odds with the principles of fair competition and international trade rules. And then they go on to say, if the pretext of national security can be used to suppress excellent companies from other countries arbitrarily, there is no fairness or justice to speak of. It is a complete logic of theft to see something good and try to take it for oneself by any means necessary. So China's accusing at this point the US of effectively trying to steal TikTok. But there's also, just in terms of, just to make this quick point, you know, remember, a lot of US companies, US internet companies, are effectively banned in China because they won't comply with the censorship laws that the government requires there. And, you know, many will argue, well, if the US has certain laws in place, national security laws, and they don't feel TikTok can comply with that, how is that any different? Now, there's a lot of nuances to that debate, for sure. But that's just, you know, one of the debates going on. But that's China's response. So it's been often, as China does, quite loud, quite heated, and obviously quite against. But it doesn't give us a sense of what China might do next. However, if we look back to last year, there was a very interesting story, and that was the U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States actually told ByteDance last year to divest TikTok or face a ban. So this happened last year. So this is something that should have been ongoing. Now it's gone through the legal post, but last then it was from the U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. And at the time, a spokesperson for China's Ministry of Commerce said the country would firmly oppose a move by the US to mandate a sale of TikTok. So at that time, there was a pretty strong, we are not going to let this happen from China. And I can't see now why that would have changed. And, you know, I've been speaking to a number of analysts who have said very similar things, that it is highly, highly unlikely that China is going to sign this off and allow ByteDance to divest TikTok in the US.
Ambition to me is about doing better.
I think ambition creates a pathway.
The best advice I can give someone starting off a career is don't have a career, have lots of careers, try loads of different things.
Talk to people and put your ambition out there.
I don't feel that I've hit peak ambition because it's a learning journey.
CNBC is where ambition meets opportunity. What does living ambitiously mean to you? Hear it from our CNBC anchors, reporters, and global business leaders on CNBC.com.
Okay, while it's highly unlikely that this sale would go ahead, if, you know, ByteDance was to sell TikTok, that's not a simple process because of the algorithm, for one, being, you know, hugely valuable, and whether, you know, China would want that in the hands of a foreign power or a foreign company, should we say. And then also trying to transfer all that intellectual property as well over to another company, another foreign company, can't be a simple process either.
Yeah, I mean, the algorithm, so much is made of TikTok's algorithm because this is effectively its secret sauce, right? This is the technology that enables it to recommend content to users, and it's what keeps their users so engaged and scrolling through the app, and their sort of envy amongst many of the social media companies about this algorithm. But it also creates a lot of complexity around this whole process. Firstly, let's say a sale went ahead, or let's say we got to the point where it was like we were going to have a sale. China would have to approve the transfer of the algorithm as part of that sale. Again, that's something that seems unlikely. It's something that China would block. But let's say then, somehow, they were like, sure, let's go ahead with the sale. Let's go ahead with everything. What's very difficult is the fact that how can you separate TikTok's US business from the algorithm? Mm. Because that's really difficult. Like you can't separate the two. So if China said, oh, actually you can do the sale without the algorithm though, that's near impossible. But also, how do you separate if the concern is over data getting into the hands of American or the Chinese government, but TikTok runs on this one algorithm that has come from China, how do you separate the two? So that's another really big, I think, issue here. I'll give you a really good sort of Richard Windsor is founder of a research company called Radio Free Mobile. He wrote this note just a few days ago. He put it really nicely, and he says this: this algorithm is Chinese homegrown technology, and the Chinese state has said on multiple occasions that it considers technology like this to be important for its national security. Hence, it will not allow Chinese technology of this nature to leave its shores or to be in the hands of countries which it considers unfriendly. This makes a severing of ties between ByteDance and TikTok USA highly problematic, as TikTok USA needs the algorithm to function. But this will then contravene the wishes of the Chinese government and the laws it has put in place. So that's that. I mean, you know, if it wasn't complex enough, that adds another spanner in the works.
Let's say they jump all these hurdles that seemingly look a little too high to get over. But let's say they were able to do that. You know, TikTok is hugely valuable, clearly. Who would have the means to buy TikTok? Who would want to buy TikTok? And what does that also mean for other social media platforms? Are they suddenly now more valuable?
I think for TikTok, I think we had an analyst on CNBC say that TikTok's US business alone could be worth $60 billion. That's huge. Now, what companies could make $60 billion acquisitions? Well, you know, any of the big tech giants probably could. Apple, Microsoft, Google, Meta, all of them could. It's a question of if they want to, and if they want the hassle, the headache that may come with purchasing TikTok. Now, if you think about it, Meta's already got a strong business with Instagram and Facebook and WhatsApp. You know, Microsoft has LinkedIn. Does it want to go down the consumer tech route as such. Google, you know, a few years ago, more or less bowed out of social media. So maybe this is its chance to get back in. We had some news break on CNBC as we were recording this podcast that former Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is building up a group of investors to acquire TikTok as well, which is fascinating. Will it be a consortium? Will it be, you know, one company? These are all questions, but there could be sort of an unlimited number of buyers really in the US, given the size of some of the tech companies there, the consortiums, the VCs as well, private equity. There's so many different options, but you know, this is, as you said quite rightfully, Tom, hypothetical at best at this point.
Okay, let's move on. I'm sure we'll keep tabs on that story. But for now, let's find out what else is happening in the world of tech. So, Arjun, the EU are opening an investigation into AliExpress, Alibaba's international e-commerce platform. What are the reasons behind that?
So the EU this year, a very, very big piece of legislation effectively became enforceable. And that's called the Digital Services Act. And it's a very wide sweeping legislation aimed at basically keeping tech giants in check in various areas, from, you know, antitrust to ensuring misinformation is not rife on their platforms. And so under the Digital Services Act, the EU's already opened a probe into X, Elon Musk's social media platform, and TikTok. And now it's opened one into AliExpress. And what it's really focusing on is what it says, various things. Firstly, a lack of enforcement of AliExpress's own terms of service, which prohibit certain products that pose a risk for consumers' health, such as fake medicine. So it's saying it feels there's a lack of protection against that. It's also saying that there's potential violations here about allowing minors to access pornographic material on the platform. So there's various areas it's looking at this point, and it's all part of this push under the DSA to make sure platforms are cleaned up and not having misinformation, not having illegal content, as they call it, and making sure, particularly if you're an e-commerce platform, that the products on your platform are not dangerous and harmful to consumers. And so that's what's happening right now. There's no sort of timeline on this probe, but it will certainly continue for a little while as the EU tries to gather evidence and figure out what's going on and whether ultimately AliExpress has violated the DSA provisions.
It also is probably not lost on our listeners that this is another Chinese tech company in the crosshair of Western lawmakers. Just to carry on the theme.
The bigger point in all of this as well is that, you know, that have you ever heard the term splinternet?
Yes.
It's a funny term, isn't it? It's a fun term. But effectively, you know, the idea here is that we're going to eventually end up with a world with a bifurcated internet. So whereas before everything was easy and easy access and there were single standards everywhere.
Network. And everyone had the same access to the same internet, essentially. We're going to get into, you know, net neutrality, I imagine, is what you're sort of...
Partly, but also I think you just... it's such a ill-defined term, really, but there's so many ways that people see it. One is a world where the internet... There's two internets, one run by China and one run by the US, and that's it. And certain countries may adopt a more Chinese internet and others might adopt a more US-centric internet. The other one is, you know, the internet requires standards, and these take years and years and years and years to build up. And there's a chance that sort of... And this is what makes things easy on the internet and things interoperable and, you know, why you can use your phone in another country and all these kind of different things. You know, what happens to those standards and what does it mean for the consumer experience? I think you're starting to see early signs of that with the way the US and China have played out their sort of technology battle over the past few years. But that's, I think, when we talk about Chinese companies in the crosshairs of the EU and TikTok under fire in the US. These are the kind of sort of broad, bigger debates that are happening as well.
You know, potentially we do a whole episode on that topic. Before we finish this week's episode, we've obviously got to do Stat of the Week, which, remind our listeners, is
170 million, Tom.
You know, Arjun, it was in my intro, 170 million.
But I don't know your intro before the episode happens. So I just have to hope.
I think I'm going to get this one right. I really hope you don't. it's the number of TikTok users in the US.
Very, very good. I was hoping you didn't say in the US part, and then you would have been wrong. So that is very, very good.
Fantastic, fantastic.
You've broken the streak.
I know. Well, it had to come to an end at some point. So thankfully, that's happened today. All right, terrific stuff. Well, thank you, Arjun, for fitting us in. That's it for this episode. Before we go, please follow and subscribe to the show. And if you'd like, you can also rate us, which would be great. Thank you, Arjun.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll be back next week for another episode of Beyond the Valley. Goodbye.
Beyond the Valley.